Hey, everybody. As you listen to this, please remember that we recorded this a week ago, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of Greg Giraldo. He was one of my favorite comics. He was brilliant. He was funny. He was what we should aspire to be, and he will be missed.
Behind the screen, there's a world of pure imagination. Behind the screen,
there's a... Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Paul Goebel Show. I'm your host, Paul Goebel, for whom I've named the show after. Wait, is this right? Okay, yeah.
That's
right. Thanks. Okay. Joining me as always is my best friend and co-host, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody.
And also joining him is his best friend and co-host, Tom Griffin.
Hello.
And joining Tom is his best friend and co-host, Mike Schmidt, the 40-year-old boy.
I was late and ruined the show.
It's funny that you think you ruined it before it even started. That means that you don't have that. No faith in this show, or even less faith in yourself.
Well, I have no faith in me, but putting the time crunch on everybody else, and now one person's got to go, and then I'm late, and it's crazy, and then it's like we're gonna hurry, and we're not gonna get to talk about something with William Shatner in it, which I'm sure you're dying to do.
Yeah.
So I've crossed
it. But it's not the last thing on my list.
The way to look at it also is he has a lot of faith in himself, because he's like, I think I already ruined it.
Yeah, by later, I've nuclear bombed this entire show already.
Hooray, I did it!
That's the power I wield.
Well, I mean, don't you always assume you're going to ruin a show just by being involved?
I'm not that horrible. I think I'm great. But if I'm late or I wear the wrong shirt, maybe I can ruin a show.
No.
But my very presence doesn't ruin a show.
Now, you were actually late for two reasons. Because, like, you sent me a tweet saying... Or a message saying, hey, I'm going to be late.
Yes.
Just running late.
Well, I was supposed to be here at 5, thought I'd get here at 5:15. And I got to where I was going promptly at 5:15.
And where was that?
That would be your old apartment.
Now, you're not the first guest who arrived at the old studio. Dean Haglund did that once. But I will say, to Dean's credit, he used to take the train all the way to North Hollywood Station and walk to my old place, which is just a few blocks from there.
Right.
So this when he did that, he didn't read the tweet correctly or whatever, the message or the Facebook message, whatever it was, and he just kind of did that by rote.
Well, he also wanted to go to your old apartment to sell chill packs to the entire group of tenants.
Yes, that's true. And I think he did.
Sure.
You, however, have been here before.
Yes, yes.
That's the difference between you and Dean.
And knew as late as last night where I was going. In my head, I'm like, all right, well, this is the house. And then just today, because I got up, scrambled being late, I just, in my head, I jumped in the shower and then went to the wrong joint.
Well, at least you took a shower.
Sure. I like to make a show clean and fresh.
So that's plus.
Plus, I'm fat and it's 105 degrees outside.
Yeah,
I can't be not taking a shower.
I went outside like once today.
Get all gummy.
Not okay. All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about with this new fall season in full swing. First, the biggest news, of course, the American Idol judges have been named.
Yes.
I
read this article basically saying, well, like they said on SNL, it's the three coffins. Three nails in the coffin that show has been put in. And I read this article saying that, you know, you don't watch the show for the people, you watch them for the judges, and these judges are going to suck.
Judge. You watch that show for Simon.
Yes.
And
you're right.
The very fact that he's gone, it honestly, it didn't matter who they got. You know what I mean? In my opinion.
Yes, but you could have got closer.
Oh, yeah.
You certainly could have done better than Steven Tyler.
They were so far afield of... It's weird because as a musician and as a rock and roll icon, yes, yes.
I thought you were saying, look, as a musician and a rock and roll icon, I don't think they should. Like,
oh,
I thought the same thing.
I was waiting for you to do that because it would have been so great. Look, me, Jim Bruce, as a musician.
And a rock and roll icon.
No, you're right. It sucks. The funny thing to me is...
But that's what I mean. It's odd in a way because in some ways I feel like I should think that he would be a good judge, but... There's enough reasons not to.
I say to my kids, did you guys hear who the new judges are? And are like, yes, we saw their pictures. One's Jennifer Lopez. I don't know the other guy.
I don't know who that old lady is.
Yeah. I go, it's Steven Tyler. And Zoe goes, is he the guy who looks like a lady?
Yeah. Said, yeah, yes. No doubt.
That's him, right? The lady with all the plastic surgery.
The
and
dude,
I go, yep.
The dude who looks like a lady?
That's right. He was the dude who looks like a lady.
But it's such a weird choice. I mean, he's famous, and he has a tenuous connection with music, but even his music was a niche brand of music. It was metal, 80s metal. I mean, it's right. Such an odd pick, and he's 62. Like, wouldn't you go more relevant? Wouldn't you try to find somebody that... I just think it's an odd, out-of-left-field choice.
Well, he's at least going to say some weird things over the course of the season. I think there's no way Jennifer Lopez is going to be a good judge because she won't ever want to say anything negative.
But, well,
she's got an image she wants to...
From what I've read, though, Jimmy Iovine is there to be the hatchet man. He's the new mentor who's going to be there, and he's going to be the quote-unquote no-nonsense mentor who's with them and helping them and fixing them. And so he's there to be Simon, basically, Jimmy Iovine. And
but he's not a judge. What is his...
He's a hands-on mentor every week who will be with them. They're not bringing in the weekly Elton John to blow them every week.
So he'll be a dick every week?
Basically, that's... Because I've read that because he's actually in the music industry,
right.
And important. So he doesn't want to go in there and be a fluffball. He wants to go in there and be a fucking...
Well, it's like
you know,
that other guy. Every once in a while they'd have that songwriter guy on, and he would mentor them.
Yeah.
It'd be another singer. I can't remember what his name is, but he's written a zillion hit pop songs.
Andrew Lloyd Webber?
No, a good. He wrote good songs.
I see.
But he would be like, he was on once with Andrea Bocelli, and he would be on something, but he would be kind of a dick to them. He'd go, what are you doing? Well, that's not what I asked you to
David
do.
David Foster, was it? Or
Yeah. And he was kind of a dick about it.
From what I read, the setup is supposed to be, because they don't anticipate Tyler being mean, J-Lo's J-Lo, Randy's Randy, and then Iovine is going to be the monster. That's what I read. So, I mean...
But in a good way, because he'll be a monster. Because the thing about Simon's meanness was, I never thought it was all that relevant, because it was always after the fact.
Yeah.
It was like, well, they just sang, so you might want to be more constructive. Like Ryan would always say, why don't you try to be constructive? But if this guy's going to be mean, at least it'll be constructive because they'll make the mistakes before they do their song.
Wait, you put way too much thought into this. I just wanted Simon to burn the place down. I don't give a fuck if he's constructive or not.
The thing that it says to me the most is that when Simon Cowell said, I'm going to do the X Factor over here, they knew that the minute he left... American Idol to do the X Factor, their show was over. And so whatever money they spent keeping him from doing the X Factor was clearly worth it.
Yeah.
Because now fucking American Idol is done. Yeah. Everyone's going to watch the X Factor now.
I laughed because when J-Lo was trying to negotiate the contract and they started to spin it with these, you know, behind-the-scenes things, she wants $13 million and she wants limos and all these different... And again, as always, they try to make the talent look bad.
Right.
And J-Lo talent, quotation marks, however you want to spin it. But... That show makes billions of dollars. They don't pay any of these fucking people who sing on it. They make them dress in these, you know, they dance around a Ford. Literally, those Ford commercials would pay for J-Lo. So for them to even question her, give her the fucking money. She's got a name. Nobody's watching for an empty chair, even though that's all she is with a big ass.
Right.
But I just, the fact that they tried to make her the bad guy.
Right.
Like, dude, they've been making bank for how many fucking years?
Yeah. Yes, and say what you will, she is a movie star. She's a bad one, but she is a movie star. There are still people who go
see
her movies.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, more than Paula Abdul ever was or will be. You know, American Idol made her new career and then fucking promptly took it away.
Yeah.
So, say what you will. I don't know. I'll watch, of course, again, but I'll be enjoying The X Factor much, much more. But what does it say for you guys auditioning this year? That's what I want to know. I mean, which one of you guys didn't audition this year? I'm sure one of you were able to said, fuck it, I'm not going to wait in line.
Well, I was not going to do it, but I don't know.
You couldn't pass it up.
As a rock icon.
Yes!
I definitely need to stay in the line.
You stay in the game?
I have Ashley Karen's in line for me right now.
Oh, that's good.
So she's holding my spot just in case.
That's nice.
Now, I don't know how they're going
to... Here's what a person should do now this year, because it is completely over, is stand in line and do 3 minutes of shitty stand-up. Like you just didn't know what the show was.
Or juggle, or you have your dog with you.
Yeah, you have your dog.
And then when they bust your balls, just go, oh, well, everybody in line said the show was a joke.
Ah, shit.
Hey, is X Factor good?
Well, I've seen like clips of it, and it's wildly popular in England.
But they just had like five huge controversies, like somebody lip synced, and then they auto tuned somebody, and like there's all these different. Yeah. I read a bunch of.
Well, the problem is it's a lot looser. So, you know, there's like, you know, different age. You can come on as a duo. You know, it's not just about singing. There's other shit going on. So it's just kind of a fucking.
Kind of a puppet.
It's a clusterfuck over there. But then also they don't, I guess, like American Idol, sometimes people come on and they win and you never fucking hear from them again, which I think is always fun.
So, and that's just a pure talent of any kind, right? Or is it singing?
I think it's, well, I mean, it can't be of any kind because I don't think they have impressionists on.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. Maybe.
Where'd that idiot, where'd the guy who's in Vegas who's making $100 million, where'd all that guy
He was on America's Got Talent.
Oh, all right.
The American version of America's Got Talent. I'm stupid.
Track.
Yeah, when Brooke and I went last time when we stayed at the Mirage, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I finally had to look it up.
Yeah.
But apparently he was the
He was on
winner.
Forbes' top comedy earners list. What did he make, $18 million
well,
last year?
Well, after Danny Gans died, he basically took his audience.
Danny Gans is dead?
Yeah.
The funny part was that you actually acted like you cared. Because I knew you knew, and I knew you didn't care. All right, let's talk about new shows that we're on this week.
Let's
just go through them briefly, talk about who watched what. Let's see. Starting with The Event. Did you guys see The Event?
No.
And you're not going to?
No, we
well, now we can't.
We thought we're not going to watch it because of
that's what I'm saying.
So you still mad about that?
You put your foot down and said no.
Also, going back to last season, Flash Forward was not very good either. So I'm not in for another crazy mystery show.
What about you, Mike?
No, I'm not a fan. I don't.
You're not interested at all.
No, I'm not. I'm a bad person for this show. I apologize.
Yeah, no, well, this happens every time.
Yeah. I mean, I watch like seven shows.
You know, you're always late too.
Because I'm busy watching my seven shows. I need to catch up in case you ask about them.
True.
These niche shows that I enjoy.
Well, were you happy that one of your favorite shows, Deadliest Catch? Won an Emmy.
Yeah, I was thrilled. I'm sure they're mounting it on the front of the boat or putting that dude's ashes in it.
Have you heard about the Deadliest Catch lawsuit?
I did hear that.
I'm sure you did.
Because they reject a spinoff? Is that what I heard? I'm like,
they agreed to do something, but then they failed to
fulfill. But that makes me laugh. What were they spinning them off into? A chat show with, you know, crabs in a barrel? I mean, what the fuck, dude?
Even worse. Even more Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, a cooking show would work. Right out of the sea?
Yeah.
And throw them to their briny death? I'm with it.
Maybe the dude who cooks, like in the Perfect Storm, that cook was in there.
Oh, yeah, cooking,
that crazy shit. Maybe he has his own cooking show. I'd like to see that.
Maybe you get a Food Network chef and make him go on the boat.
Oh,
I would love to see
Guy
Fieri out there banging around with those fucking traps.
That'd be awesome.
Trying to keep his tips frosted.
All right. Well, I watched The Event, and I thought it was fine. It wasn't great. You know what I liked more was that show where a bunch of people got invited to a party over the internet but had no idea what was going on, the Evite.
Oh,
right.
I rejected that show.
You did?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh no, I knew. I didn't know.
And
what
that was with the backward, the upside down V.
Yeah, right? It was. Yeah, and everyone was calling it the E Night. All right, Mike and Molly, who watched that?
I did.
I also did.
Nope. Yes.
Now I was a little wary because I heard it was wall to wall fat jokes, but I didn't find that at all. I thought it was the appropriate amount of fat jokes. What did you think, Mike?
Did you watch Mike and Molly?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because that last sentence would not make any sense. If
really?
You
thought
saw
it was wall-to-wall fat jokes.
My wife and I sat there, and I've got to preface this with, I know the people who run the show. I know, like, four of the people on this who work on this show. But I watched
it's actually two people that are just that fat.
Shit, look out.
I sat there, and Karen and I said, look, let's keep a running track of the fat jokes. I'll do this. And we got to 8 in the first 120 seconds. And I went, let's stop keeping track because it's obvious there's just one. And it's the entire show.
The whole show.
Yeah. And it's so funny. They just did that weird thing where they shove, like, hey, we're in Chicago. This guy's going over a beef sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of weird. And, look, Mark's my friend. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
And he's from Chicago, so that's why he's working that stuff in there.
Right.
Which is great. But just, I'm a bad person to ask again. I don't enjoy sitcoms anymore. I cannot watch them. And I gave it a chance because, again, it's my friends. And I like Billy. Billy's a, you know, funny guy and stuff. Billy Gardell, I'm an idiot.
Why do you tell them Billy Gardell's last name but not Mark Roberts' last name?
Oh, Mark Roberts. Yeah, because I Mark Roberts and you know, Carla's writing on that, and mm-hmm. you know, so I know people there. Yes. But I will say that I watched it once, and I probably, because again, I don't like sitcoms.
Right.
And that's
and you know, mainly watched it because of Carla and people you know.
I did, yeah, and also because I'm fat, and I wanted to see what they were going to do with
it. Siegel's going to be on it. You're going to watch it?
I will watch Mike, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, I you know, I'm a little more forgiving on sitcoms like that, but like, you know. Like you, I think Billy Gardell is a funny guy, mm-hmm. and I think he does a fine job, and I love Melissa McCarthy on Gilmore Girls.
And who's the banging chick from Eastbound and Down?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know
her
name, but yeah, she's, I'll watch her on any show that
yeah,
she's
I'm
on.
You.
I'll watch her on, you know, an hour of her standing there. I'm down with that show. And that was, didn't you think her being stoned was funny? That part where she goes, has it been a long time since I talked?
She did a good job, absolutely. But it just... I'm more along, you know, it opens up where the, you know, the fat woman's on the exercise thing in her living room, and all I can think is how bad that house must smell. Like, I go that
right.
way, and then Susie Kurtz comes in eating a cake right in front of her, and I look at Karen, and I go, you know, because fat people can't concentrate if there's a cake in the room. You know what I mean? Like, because then the girl's trying to exercise, and she keeps looking over, like, and licking her lips, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Come on, no! We're not like that, seriously! We would get off the bike and tackle that cunt and
yeah,
eat that cake.
Yeah, smash her.
Sure.
Eat the cake on top of her and then fall asleep. That's what we do. All right. Well, I thought it was okay. What is this? Boardwalk Empire with Steve Buscemi. I know you guys didn't watch it because it's on HBO. What
right.
about you, Mike?
I did watch it.
My feeling is the acting was spectacular.
Yes.
But it's a lot of setup, and it's going to get better.
Yeah, they had to set it up in the first, you know, that's the whole deal. It's funny, you see what Patton Oswalt called it?
Uh-uh.
Paul F. Tompkins Fantasy Soup Camp. It made me laugh. Because you figure Paul just
perfect.
Sitting there watching it going, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that.
Nice that's perfect. I mean, Buscemi is...
Come on. I mean, you can't
really
go wrong. And I love me some...
Michael Shannon.
Oh, God.
He's
yeah.
so great.
It's funny because you said you love Garrett Dillahunt, as do I,
uh-huh.
and Michael Shannon and Garrett. If they ever made a show together, it would just be like, you
holy
know,
shit.
Angular evil guys.
You know, I was in a movie with Michael Shannon.
Were you, Bug?
No, Grand Theft Parsons with him and
oh,
Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, no way. I drove past the Burger King when they were filming it there.
Yeah, we had a scene together. He was really nice. For a guy who plays so many fucking crazy psychos,
yeah.
he was super nice, and Knoxville was nice, too. But I don't know if I told this story, but I was getting my makeup done, and he was in the trailer. And some girls were talking about how they saw his wiener the other day on the set.
All right.
And then he was like, I don't think you did. And they go, yeah, it was really white. And he goes, well, then you didn't see mine, because mine's practically black. And all of a sudden he got kind of uncomfortable. And he goes, yeah, for some reason, my nether regions are real dark. I went to the doctor, and he goes, hey, you got the color. Too bad you didn't get the size.
Oh, my God. How have you not told that story? That's the first story I tell when I start a podcast.
It was pretty funny. And he was great. And he's got this bottle of scotch, and like a full bottle of really nice scotch. And he goes, my agent just sent me this. It cost more than my first car. And I'm like, yeah, that's good stuff. And I'm drinking a Diet Pepsi. And he goes, pour some of that out. So I pour half of it out. And he fills my fucking can
no
with it.
No way.
It was great. He was... And here's the other story. I know I've told this one, but it was when right after Beat the Geeks got canceled, and I was going to go... We were going to tour colleges with it. And I said... And he goes, did you get Comedy Central's permission? I go, no, fuck that. We're going to call it Meet the Geeks. And he goes, you can't do that. And I go, what are they going to do, sue us? And he goes, so you mean I could get a bunch of black guys and tour colleges where we hit ourselves in the balls and call it Black Ass?
It's so funny because I would think he's like this method misfit you don't ever want to talk to, and he's off in the corner of a trailer learning his stuff. That's great.
Yeah, it was. They were both really fun and funny guys. And that movie was on the other day. Me and Brooke are looking for a movie to watch on fucking pay-per-view, and I go, oh, Grand Theft Parsons, here, let me fast forward to my part.
Yeah.
And we watched it, and she was like, mm-hmm, and clearly, she's no longer impressed.
Are you guys looking forward to Jackass 3D?
I actually am, and
a
that's the one
are,
I'll go see in the theater.
I've heard nothing but, like, anybody who's seen clips, apparently funny as shit.
Well,
and
the Jackass
like
movies have made me laugh.
Yeah, seems like 3D might actually be good for those.
Yes. Those, yeah, I never liked the show so much, but the fact that they do shit in the movie that they could never do on the show.
But the show made me laugh always, and,
yeah.
and the movies, it's, in my head I keep going, I can't go see that, Jackass.
So what's
3D,
funnier, the Jackass show or Tom Green in his prime, in your opinion?
I say the Jackass show because okay. Tom Green personally was a little too much, a little too buggy and fucking around for me.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. When it was at its best, when he was just like shit that he would do with that I enjoyed more than just seeing guys hurt themselves was when he would just be an unmitigated prick of putting somebody in a situation they didn't deserve to be in, like when he's in a wheelchair and has somebody help him up and then he screams as if he's in ridiculous pain. That was always so funny to me.
See, I like it Jackass where the guys are doing it to themselves or their buddies.
I see exactly, yeah.
I mean, did you see that scene?
I don't like anything that needs a foil. Like, yeah. I don't, I hate crank call
shows.
You don't
like popcorn.
True. Not a fan of Jiffy Pop. any of that potato. Shit, get crank, oh, done, out. Yeah, crank call shows, any of that bullshit where they trick people,
that's the thing that I don't like about Jimmy Kimmel and his whole empire is it's all about let's find someone stupid to make look stupid. You know, I love it when he makes fun of himself. And,
but you
and
know what?
Guys,
Jay Leno does that too, and like every reality show does that now.
I don't know if I've said this. I don't really like Jay Leno all that much. I'm not a fan.
You can't hang it on Kimmel, is my point. I think that's actually now a genre. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
I like Jimmy Kimmel now. I'm on board.
I like him. I think he does great stuff. Ever since he made fun of Leno during
Like, some of the, like, when he talked, his monologue is one of the best monologues on TV, period. It's one of the most well thought out, funny top to bottom. It'll be very topical, like where you go, wow, that was just very incisive, but still a joke. And then it'll go the other way, and it'll just be goofy and silly.
Are you trying to get a job writing for his show now?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that is a ringing endorsement from you, and it would carry a lot more weight if you hadn't mentioned how you're feeling about Tom Green.
Well, besides, I mean, we know you know your shit about music, but when it comes to comedy...
Like a music icon.
All right, moving on, how about Raising Hope? I thought that show was hilarious.
Really?
It made me laugh multiple times. There was my favorite part was Skylar Stone, who I don't know if you guys remember, he had that con man show on Comedy Central.
Yes.
He's pretty funny on this show, but at one point he's ironing his pants, and the kid says, I'm going to raise this kid. He's like, no, we got to go to a rave tonight, and you have to drive. Otherwise, I have to ride my bike, and my pants will get wrinkled, and I will have wasted it in ironing. And that was funny enough, but then later on, they come into the scene, and he's bicycling away from the house, holding his pants in one hand. That made me laugh so fucking hard,
because
it was just a brief thing like that, and Brooke even missed it. I said, did you think I was finished? She's like, I didn't understand what he was doing. And I was like, no, because remember the thing? But again, Garrett Dillahunt, man, he's fucking great on that show. And Cloris Leachman's funny. It made me laugh hard. What did you think, Tom?
Yeah, I quite liked it. I thought it was funny. There was a discussion of it on a certain website that you chastised me for mentioning before.
Yeah.
A certain author that I've mentioned on the show before, not always liking.
Okay.
Who accused Greg Garcia of hating his characters. He, like, panned the show because he thinks that Greg Garcia has hate in his heart for these characters, and he's making fun of them, and that seems ludicrous to me. That entire premise.
I think
he's
celebrating them, quite frankly.
That entire premise seems just ridiculous to me. Why would you write a show about characters you hate? Like, even if you think your characters are despicable people,
like
you've got to like
children.
Your characters.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because he writes about these dim-witted, small-town country fucks. But they all seem to be nice enough people for the most part.
Right. So that's a Greg Garcia show?
Yes.
I may have to tune in because he has a Van Halen thing.
Well, did you notice his My Name is Earl shout out in the episode?
Did I? I'm not recalling.
You would have if you noticed it, you would have noticed it. It was the beginning of the episode. They're watching the news and they're talking about the mother of the baby is getting executed.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "And now an ex small time criminal gets to the end of his do-good list," and they click. You get, they,
oh,
and
no,
they
I
go,
didn't, I didn't notice
and they
that.
Go, and you won't believe how it ended. And they turn the TV
I
off.
I didn't hear that. No,
it
that's,
was great.
That's pretty good.
Because of course it was a diss on NBC for canceling Earl before they had a finale.
How happy are you, by the way?
I'm fucking ecstatic. Why?
With the Comcast thing getting rid of Zucker.
I'll say this about Zucker, and we'll divert briefly. It's awesome that he is leaving the show. It's even more awesome that on SNL, they started to say something nice about him.
I love
and
that.
Interrupted it with two blind guys bumping into each other. It was great, because
oh,
you know
I
he was watching
that.
Going, oh, this is kind of... Oh, dang it. That was fucking awesome.
That was one of the best versions of that.
The only thing that could be better is if Jay Leno followed him out. That would make it perfect.
It seems unlikely.
I agree. I agree. It probably won't happen.
That's a sharp eye you got there.
All right. The other sitcom right after Raising Hope was Running Wild with Will Arnett, which I also found very funny. A couple of parts of that made me laugh out loud. Who watched that?
Nope.
No, sir.
I watched it.
Yeah? And?
I think it was a little uneven, but it's a pilot, so I'm definitely... Right. I mean, I like everyone involved, so I'm definitely going to keep watching.
I love his next-door neighbor. That scene where they were doing the play.
Peter Fenowitz is very, very funny.
That scene they were doing the play, brilliant. My favorite part was when Kerry Russell is in the bush with David Cross, and he says, check this out. If they love oil so much, they're going to love this. And he mails a big package of oil to the Wild Oil Company. And then a couple months later, she gets a letter from him, and then David Cross has this big package. He goes, not enough postage? What did I even mail anyway? And walks into a tent, and then poof, it fucking blows up. That made me laugh. And I hope David Cross is on it more, but I don't...
I think he's going to be, yeah.
Just recurring?
I think his character is going to be recurring, yeah.
Oh, I hope so. But a lot of funny things on that show. I don't like Peter Serafinowicz. What else has he done? What's his deal? I looked him up on IMDb.
Shaun of the Dead, Spaced, Look Around You.
So he's English?
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Now, here's my opinion, or rather, what I want to know about. I want your opinion. That's what I want, not mine.
Oh, okay.
I already know mine. Mm-hmm. He plays like an English, but an Indian English guy. Like,
yeah. Lawrence of Arabia. His name was like Fahad or something, so I'm not quite sure what he's supposed to be.
But there's a lot of furor about him wearing brown face for the show. People think he's in brown face because he's playing an Indian character. What have you heard about that?
I haven't.
Really? You haven't heard nothing about that?
I missed that particular furor.
Because I think, how dark do you have to be before you're wearing brown face or black face? What if you're just, you know, playing a dude with a tan? What if I'm just playing a white guy with darker skin?
What if you're playing Michael Sheen's cock?
Like, I've always thought that it's a weird, you know, because people will say, like, Fred Armisen's wearing blackface when he plays Obama, but he's not wearing blackface. He's wearing makeup to make him look darker, but blackface is a particular thing.
Yes, it's, you know, you burned a cork and you covered your face ears are still
that's
white.
That's a particular thing with a particular history.
Big red lips.
Everybody agrees is no
bowler hat.
Well, I think white gloves, wearing makeup to make you look a different ethnicity.
Deep voice song.
Now that we've established what it is, Mike, why did you come dressed that way?
Look, I wasn't this way, and then I thought it would be a funny joke to make up for the fact that I was late.
Okay, yeah. Well,
so, they were burning cork over at your old place, and I said, can I borrow some of that? Boom, done.
You know what? That's the most believable thing you've said this whole day, that they were burning cork in my old building. You walked in, and there's some kids burning cork by the pool.
Because they can't afford snakes.
Oh, shit, I wish I could get some snakes with my sparklers this year for Halloween.
I think it's all context and intention, because Fred Armisen is not going, I'm the president.
He's not
That'd be a better impression than the one he does.
His joke isn't, hey, look at funny black people. He's portraying a specific character.
Right, and any, you know... Like, if you play the part of a gay guy, a character that happens to be gay, that's a thing. If you're playing the stereotype, well, then that can be insulting. And that goes for any race you might be portraying. Now...
Gay face.
Yeah, now...
Why do you want to put on gay face?
Yeah. Now, at the same time, I can understand people of the ethnicity being played, the actors themselves going, hey, I don't like the part on TV. I can understand that frustration.
Sure, everybody has a right to be offended.
And if there's like, hey, there's plenty of people of the right nationality to play that part, I can understand that. I can't relate to it because I'm, you know, not a very empathetic person, but...
And white.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes hand in hand.
Right. Okay, how about Hawaii Five-0? Now, we're going to talk about this in depth when Elwood's on the show.
But, all right, good for you.
Did anybody else watch it?
I made the mistake of tuning in.
Okay, and you hated it?
I only watched a little... I watched it... All right, here's the thing. Entertainment Weekly told me it was going to be good.
That's what they told me, too.
We all know Entertainment Weekly is just a pamphlet to advertise shows, and that's fine. They don't their opinions really don't matter. But I like Scott Kahn.
I do, too.
So I'm like, all right, I'll tune into Scott Kahn and Hot Girls in Bikinis. Why not?
Sure.
and regretted it. Absolutely regretted it. And because everything else I heard said it was terrible. People I know said it was terrible. I kept it on my TiVo the entire time, and I actually just watched it this morning and just went, that's the last time I need to watch that ever.
Okay. Tom?
Did not, no.
Oh, so you just heard about the show. We were talking about it before.
Right.
Mike got here for a half hour. And but you had an observation about
it. I had an observation.
You had to share.
That Grace Park seems to be falling into a particular rut.
Right.
She goes on shows that are remakes of older shows and plays a part that used to be played by a dude.
She plays iconic parts, but played by a dude.
Yeah.
And so the first one
niche rut.
Was a black guy. She played a black guy's part.
Right.
Now she's taking a Hawaiian dude's part.
Right. So
you could have minority to your...
Minority. So
Boomer was a black dude, and Kono was a big, fat Polynesian dude.
So watch for her to be Kato in the Green Lantern, Green Hornet.
When they remake Running Wild, like she will play Fahad.
Right. Yeah. I think she's going to play Kit in the fucking Knight Rider remake.
put a car out of work,
and they're remaking it again.
Again, a third one because the second one was huge.
Oh, fantastic!
all right, Detroit 187. Who watched that?
Well, what did you think of Hawaii 5-0?
And
by the way, real quick, just a completely sidebar. Did Greg Giraldo die?
I don't think so. Why?
Oh,
did you hear that?
Yeah. Last night he overdosed, and he
came. No.
All right, I heard it in the middle of the night, and it was all over the internet and all over Twitter.
Well, hold on.
I absolutely agree. I'm just wondering. I apologize to steer it that way.
Of all time.
No, right? No, that's...
I'll look it up right now. But here's my thing about Hawaii Five-0.
Yes.
I felt the same way you did. I really dislike Alex O'Loughlin, because that fucking gay vampire show was bullshit. But I love Scott Kahn, and I like Daniel Day Park, and I certainly like Grace Park, Daniel Day Kim. I certainly like Grace Park. I thought they set it up all really well, and they explained everything, and him and his dad.
Like Hudson Island. And
right, and how
it was the 50th state. There's 5-0.
But why they have the Hawaii 5-0, because they never really set that up on the original show. Because that was the other thing. I was comparing it to the original show. Constantly,
yeah.
Because Brooke had never even seen Hawaii Five-0, so I'm constantly referring back.
And that's fair. You have to compare. Stand up well.
Is that a difference between TV now and TV then? Possibly that originally it's like, hey, we've got these particular cop characters you're going to follow every week, and now it's like we have to explain why they're cops and why you're going to why they're a team. And
well,
and,
the thing is,
yeah,
Hawaii Five-0 is a unique cop show because there is no other state that has its own force like the Hawaii 5-0 that reports directly to the governor, that is in charge of crimes that are specific to the state. It's not like
Stealing the pineapples. There's a big thing about pineapples.
It's not like Maine has
lava rocks.
It's not like there's a Maine four that's in charge of lobster rustling.
Right. Usually the spirit of the island will get them, but if not, 5-0 will get you.
Right. I think the problem I had with Hawaii 5-0 is I went in thinking gritty, humorless cop show, and that's what I wanted. Even though I like Scott Kahn and I know he's a smartass and all that kind of shit, I wanted a 70s, like Mannix or any of those shows where they throw it back and they're not funny and they're just this humorless pursuit of the task.
Which is, you just described Jack Lord to a T.
Yeah, and a guy, you're sneaking around in an alley and a guy hits you with a blackjack and you wake up an hour later. that's what I'm looking for. And in that show, man, it was just like, what the...
Television today.
I don't need
blackjack.
Funny exchanges. Everybody thinks there has to be levity. It's like, dude, even in SBU, they'll have levity between Belzer and Ice-T. And so you're like, dude, no, I don't need any levity. I want to see fucking grim, dark police procedural. And that's what I want to see.
All right. Yeah, I didn't think it was horrible.
Yeah.
But it didn't knock my socks off. And I'll watch it for Scott Kahn, but I'll probably eventually say enough. I've had enough.
Now, I've hijacked this show by what I said, because now you're not paying attention to your own show because you're Googling.
I can do both.
All right.
So let's see. I guess TMZ made a big deal about it. It says
Fox News said he was dead.
He was brought to a New Jersey hospital because of an accidental overdose of prescription pills. He's critical but stable.
I apologize because last night it looked bad from what everybody was saying. Craig Gass said, because it's not good. He's in a coma and like all these different things.
Yeah.
But again, this is what they said about Schimmel too. They were like, oh, he's critical, and then all of a sudden 2 days later,
right.
Yeah. So it's a drag.
Well, so this is from Punchline Magazine, not the most reputable source, but
well,
run
funny
by
guy,
comedians.
And we hope he's okay.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And is that speaking as a musician or a comedian?
Comedian, come on. I'm a musician. As a music icon. Here's the thing. You know this. Back in the day, I would always have a comedian open.
Yes.
And of course, it was always a hell gig because people are like, Jim, we want to fuck rock and roll icon, Jim.
Sure.
But I give my...
Even dudes were yelling that.
Yeah. That was the thing about my show, you know?
People didn't come for the music so much as for the fucking.
Yeah.
They wanted to come to fuck you.
Yeah. That was... I'd open with a fucking... Do a few songs.
Three times in the middle. Yeah. Open with fucking, close with fucking, do it three times in the middle.
Yeah, the encores were brutal. But yeah, you know, I would always give the young comics a break to the big gig in front of a bunch of people.
All right, Detroit 187. Did you watch it, Mike, because it's got your boyfriend on it?
I would say Detroit N-O exclamation point.
Okay. Now, you realize the pilot is going to be dramatically different from the rest of the show, because I don't know if you nerd this, but it was supposed to be a documentary-style show.
Okay.
But then in Detroit, this girl got killed on a ride-along, like, in for real, and they stopped doing them. And then they said, well, this will be in bad taste then if we do this show as a documentary, like... The camera's riding along. So they had that bit at the beginning.
Why are you on a ride? It's Detroit.
Yeah.
Anytime you're in your car, you're on a ride along.
Yeah, I agree.
There is a chance you get winged at all times.
It was like a young girl doing a report for college or something, too. So, yeah, it wasn't even like
a
girl.
I don't mean to laugh. That's just, what are they doing with her in the car? I mean, what are you?
It's a bad idea. So they had to re-edit the show to make it. So I'm saying it might get better. It might be different.
Who's my boyfriend in it?
Michael Imperioli?
He's not my boyfriend.
I thought you were a big fan of his.
I liked him in Sopranos. That's the only thing I know him from and the only thing I liked him in.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You didn't like him on, say it.
Say what?
Life on Mars?
I saw one episode of it on accident.
Okay. What are you laughing at?
I don't know what had just happened.
I don't know. I don't know either.
Look at me and you're like, say it.
I'm like, well, it seems like anytime Life on Mars comes up, we both have... I don't know.
It's a laughable show.
Yes, it's like we have unresolved feelings for Life on Mars. And
are you still mad about the finale?
Oh, yeah. I'm pissed. Anytime, when I was in Toronto, they were talking about Being Human, and I said, you know, they're making an American version of that show, and they're all like, nah. And I go, what did with Life on Mars? And then all Brooks' friends were like, which was great. And I went, except for the finale. And they all kind of were quiet after that.
None of it. Because Brooks' new boyfriend is yelling.
None of it was great.
I thought Michael Imperioli and Harvey Keitel were good on
that
show.
Sure they were.
Harvey Keitel is awesome.
A bunch of people were good on the show. It just wasn't a good show.
Maybe
that's why Brooke likes Paul, because she's Canadian and she will tell her friends. He does this neat thing, yelling.
All right. I know you guys didn't watch Undercovers, right?
I didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I can see the show going in entertaining directions.
I thought it was boring as batshit, quite frankly.
Really?
There was nothing on it. I mean, I like Joe McCraney, but there was nothing on it to make me watch a second time.
Batshit in what context?
Well, like when a bat takes a shit.
That's boring to you?
No, looking at the batshit after he flies
away. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I want to know in what context.
Not boring as a bat shitting, but yeah, boring literally as batshit.
Oh, okay, I can see that, I guess.
If you're in a cave and it's just raining, that's not boring.
Yeah, that's boring. Like, sure, that's a step forward.
No, but like you walk out of your house and there's something on the ground you don't recognize, and someone goes, yeah, there was a bat.
That's not boring either.
You're down with that?
Yeah, you don't recognize it, now you're in
yeah,
a...
Yeah, that's true.
What are you, Law and Order...
Guano investigator?
Yeah.
So that's not boring, but I'm saying if you knew it was bad shit and you looked at him and thought, oh, it's bad shit, I can see you going...
Boring as dog shit.
Again, in what context? And apparently, that's the wrong thing to say, because all you do is Twitter me pictures of dog shit, and I want to stab you. What the fuck, dude? Why is that even close to funny? Or I mean, horrendous.
Did you not listen to last week's episode?
I'm behind. I'm a little behind.
Okay, because we talked about... Oh, I'm going to start this new Twitter feed, Shit My Dog Takes.
Dude.
And that's all it was pictures of dog shit, and I wanted it to catch on.
Oh, no.
Here's the best part.
I went once and went, this is real. Like, I thought it was a goof, and then I saw it, and I'm like, this is real. Of course
it's
it
real
is.
Because it's a goof.
Wow. Horrible.
Because I started it, and I wanted people to follow and go, it's great. It's like shit my dad says, but it's shit my dog takes. He Twitter's pics of shit. But the great thing is I started the account and I said, follow this guy, follow shit my dog takes. And a couple people followed. 2 days later, one follower. Me.
Yeah.
I was the only follower.
But you picked up some followers.
Oh, really?
Last time I
from
looked,
Germany.
You had like 37 or something.
Yeah, that's got to be a European deal.
I know. Well, I haven't tweeted in a while. Maybe I put some more on there.
Start
just because I want my own TV show, Mike.
Yeah, okay. Shit My Dog Takes is your vehicle?
If Shit My Dad Says is a TV show, then Shit My Dog Takes
what
is definitely
tragic
one.
Mess.
Quite literally.
All of it. The whole fucking operation.
You get George Takei to play the voice of the dog.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
All right, how about Better With You? That, which was purported to be the worst sitcom of the season.
How do you do it? How do you... What Herculean effort do you have to watch all of this garbage?
I'm unemployed. That helps.
I saw Better With You.
I thought it was really a bad effort.
By all means, stop me from talking. Go ahead, jump in, Tom. Let's hear what you think about Better With You or the fucking wife.
Maybe I heard too
I
much
wouldn't be funnier. Go ahead. Just jump right in.
What? You were just going to say
I was
going
to savage everything. I was going to... But that's okay. Why burn the place down?
Oh, I see. You were going to say, how do you have the
doesn't
time
matter,
to watch TV and tweet pics of shit?
I think it's much more important we hear what Tom thinks about this.
Hey, this ain't the fucking 40-year-old boy. We got four dudes in a room.
I
got
to shut up.
We got four dudes in a room and no witch cackling at your brilliance.
Dad, you take that back. She's nice.
She is nice. What?
A witch.
A witch can't be nice?
No.
You never saw Bewitched?
Not a nice thing to say.
What?
Not a nice thing to say.
Why?
Let's hear about Better With You.
Wait a minute. Did you not see those Halloween pictures
I don't
of
care.
Lily?
I like Lily, my friend.
I like
her, don't
too.
Call
you
her
know
a witch.
I like her.
All right.
How is it... How in the world
because
could somebody
you,
think I don't like Lily?
I'm not saying you don't like her, but that's a wrong choice of words, and you may mean it affectionately. I feel the need as my friend to step in and go, hey. It's like if someone said, Goebbels a dick, I'd be like, Paul's my friend. You got to step
but
in.
But I
say
am
something.
A dick.
Yeah, which is why you're calling my friend a witch, so let's pull back.
But there's a good, I don't know if you've seen Wizard of Oz, Mike. There's
I have.
A good witch and there's a bad witch.
I'm aware of that, but there was no qualifier in your sentence. All you said, there's no witch cackling at you.
I think that's on you. You clearly have a hassle with witches in general.
Right, which is why I will jump in and say not to call her that.
Well, I think
why
you're
not going to vote for that lady.
Which one?
I think you're a witchist. I think that's your problem. You hear someone's a witch, you immediately turn off.
Is this going to be a new thing, by the way? Because this happened last week.
Yeah, with Beth on
no,
the show.
No, and I don't think you're wrong. And I didn't necessarily think she was wrong, although I did think she misunderstood me.
Misunderstood you?
Well, yes, because I was the one who was talking about the guy from Big Brother.
The gay guy.
And because I kept calling him the gay guy, and my point was, well, that's his role on the show.
Yes.
But she rightfully, and she pointed out, and it's right to say this, that you can't define somebody solely by one quality, and that in and of itself can be taken offensively. And it became a whole thing, much like this.
But I think in a discussion about Big Brother, it's perfectly fine to say the gay guy, just as it is to say the tall guy, the
black
guy.
But in that same discussion, it's perfectly valid for her to bring up. That, you know what I'm saying?
It's perfectly valid for anybody to bring up anything, and as far as I'm concerned, as long as they're my friend and I invited them into a conversation.
As long as they're your friend, so no one can say anything ever?
Yes, Jim. Yes. You found that's the thing is I get into that I get into trouble with that a lot, and Mike and I has had this conversation before. I say things to people who I think are my friends, and I find out later that they were offended by it, and they never say anything to me about it. I find out, hey, did you hear what Goebbels said to this person? And I'm like, well, if they were offended, why didn't they say something to me? Mm-hmm. Like just now, why didn't they say, hey, dick, that's not cool? And then I go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean
maybe,
any offense.
Maybe because they don't want to have the 9-minute argument about why you think it was cool.
Maybe. But they don't have to. All they have to say is, I don't want to talk about it, but that wasn't cool. But, I mean, this isn't a fight. You don't want me to call Lily a witch?
Yes.
Okay, and so you said, hey, don't call her a witch. It's not like you fucking are going to do one of your wrestling things. What do you call all those things that you do to people?
Yes, I have a litany of names.
You do. So all the things you talk about on your show, a forearm shiver or
when I was bouncing, I had to do a bunch of
an upside down hand.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of
cross face chicken wing and
crazy shit
with a crab hand.
Trust me, this guy's got a whole fucking pocket.
Let's hear about this bad sitcom. This terrible, horrendous sitcom.
All right. Well, it's not any worse than any other bad sitcom, but the premise is this couple is getting married after after dating for like 3 weeks, whereas this girl's sister and her boyfriend have been together for like 6 years and they're still not married. They're living together. And then the parents are just a couple of old dummies. So it's just really uninspired.
Are there recognizable names in said show?
Yeah, Deborah Jo Rupp from That 70s Show is the mom.
All right.
Kurt Fuller is the dad, who you may not recognize his name, but I know you'll recognize his face. Joanna Garcia is the female lead, and she's been in a couple shows. And, you know...
Hey, is that hot... is it Nadine Velasquez? The chick from... Is she in anything?
She's
ever?
On The League. She plays Nick Kroll's wife.
Oh, I saw her. And I watched The League last year. I watched the first season of The League.
Yeah, she's on a few episodes.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah, she's...
Anybody speaking of hot Mexicans, anybody seen that gif of Sofia Vergara stirring milk? It's from the premiere of Modern Family where she's stirring salt into the milk.
No.
Someone just made a gif of the 3 seconds of her stirring.
I call that a gif.
Okay. I call it a gif, but the main point I think that we can agree on is her giant breasts heaving back and forth while she's stirring this fucking milk.
I'm a fan.
You call
it's
it a gif.
Awesome.
Gift.
Yeah,
I call it a gift.
So I don't know. I just watched it because I watch everything, but I won't be watching it again, and I don't expect anyone else.
Well, that's your gig, and I understand. I'm just saying, I feel like I let you down every time I show up because I'm always a no with everything. Hey, did you see this? No.
Mike, you couldn't let me down any more than you already have.
Oh.
I watched The Defenders today. Speaking of shitty shows, anyone else watch that?
No. Whenever I hear The Defenders, I think of the old comic book.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of something else.
Okay, well, I'll say this about The Defenders.
Not important.
I hate Jim Belushi, and I love Jerry O'Connell. I mentioned this
last
week.
Why do you hate Jim Belushi?
Because first of all, he used to be funny, and he's not. And he's turned into a giant douchebag. Every story I ever hear about him is about him being a douche to somebody in real life.
He seems very, and this bleeds over into his characters. He seems very entitled and very happy with thinking he's really funny. And
exactly.
Great.
And he's not.
Yeah. I met him. I met him a million years ago, before he was even famous, at Second City in Chicago. And he came out and joined them, and it was a big deal.
I'm sure it was.
Cause, and again, this I'm talking 87. You know, this is way, I don't know, 86 even. And I was like so weirded out. We followed him. He left, and he walked all the way down the street, and I got his autograph. I still have it, actually. And he was really cool. I said, you know, someday I want to be on stage, like, doing that. He goes, maybe that'll be me joining you someday. Because it was like the cast was doing it, and he came on as a special guest.
That's a nice
thing
to say.
He's like, keep doing that. He goes, you know what? Maybe I'll be joining you on stage someday.
What
he was
a
so
nice
great
thing to
and
say.
Friendly. And it's so funny, because now I hear all these terrible, terrible things.
I heard, this is a story, the worst story I ever heard. This guy, Steve Berg, who I worked with briefly, he's an actor and a comedian, and he said that somebody was introducing him to Jim Belushi. The three of them were standing in a room, and the guy said, hey, Jim. The guy knew Jim Belushi. He said, hey, Jim, this is my friend Steve Berg. He's a comedian, too. And Steve put his hand out and said, oh, I'm a big fan. And Belushi put his hand out and then moved Steve to the side and walked past him.
For real?
Did not say a word. Put his hand, pushed him aside, and walked past him. And Steve went, I can't believe I got big-timed by Jim Belushi. That made me laugh.
Wow. Well, Jim Belushi's worth fucking $30 million.
But,
I mean,
yeah, fuck him. And this show is a perfect example of what an asshole he is. We're watching it, The Defenders, and or a commercial for it, and I say to Gracie, that's the kid from Stand By Me, because we just watched it 2 weeks ago. She's like, what? She can't believe it. And then I said, and look, Rebecca Romaine Stamos, he's fucking her now. And she's like, what? I can't believe that. And we were both upset. But here's the best part of the show. I mean, it's a typical lawyer show, and it's horseshit from beginning to end. But here's the best part. The whole time, he's talking about getting tickets for Junior. Jerry O'Connell's like, hey, how are we going on those tickets for Junior? Do we got tickets for Junior, which is some show he wants to see. Not tickets to give to Junior, but that's his show. Who do you think he's talking about?
The, what? Frank Sinatra Jr.
Right. And that is the best part. They get to the show at the end. Him and Belushi go to see Frank Sinatra Jr. And they are so fucking happy about it. And I'm like, hey, that's the least talented Sinatra performing for the least talented Belushi. That is the worst thing I've ever seen. I'd rather see Nancy Sinatra than Frank Sinatra Jr. I'm like, I give Frank Sinatra Jr. credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
The guy's had a great life and all. But I saw him direct the fucking band for his dad in Chicago. I will suck my own dick before I hunt down tickets to watch him sing songs that his dad made famous.
I would suck my own dick anyway. I mean, I would, seriously.
It's not much of a claim, but I'm saying I will, like, go through the trouble of doing it, though.
Oh, you'll break your own back?
Yes, I'll break my back and dislocate my neck before I go see Frank fucking Sinatra Jr.
I don't think he's earned the right to just be called Junior, and we're all supposed to know who he is. I mean, that seems odd.
Brooke works with Frank Junior's son.
I'm like,
Frank's not to the third.
I thought for a second, are they going with tickets to see Junior Samples?
Or? Is it funny?
Harry
I'm going
Connick
Junior Wells. I'm trying
right,
to go
Junior Wells. Harry Connick Jr. Anybody but Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah. Wow.
But, and they're calling it Junior like, what? Oh,
well, that's what I'm saying. He hasn't earned the right for that yet.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to think fucking Jim Bruce Jr. is my fucking rock icon.
For that, I am on board.
Sure.
That's why I'm your friend, because I want tickets for your son's fucking gig.
He's great. He really is great. He does too much of
when we met in high school and I saw you perform, I said, this fucking guy is going to have a kid who is going to kill, and I'm going to be his best friend.
I don't like that he's doing the glam rock thing, to be honest.
No.
Whatever.
He's trying to bring that back, is he?
Yeah.
Bring it back. All right. Let's see. What else premiered? Shit. We'll talk about that last. Outsourced. Thursday night.
Boo.
Okay, Jim.
Here's the thing. This is the one I watched because I wanted to give it a shot.
That was the gayest boo ever.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Here's the thing about it. Here's what's wrong.
I give it a boo with a thumbs down.
There are people who are worried that it would be racist and whatever. It's not racist. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's the setup is, okay, right away they tell us why he's got to go be outsourced and why he's got to go.
Yeah,
to
they're like, hey, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Here's why this guy's got to go, right?
Hey, yeah. And it's just very boring. If you don't like sitcoms in general...
Or Indians.
Oh, my God.
That's why he hates Running Wild.
And then there's a scene, and right away... You know, there's a lot of the shows
before you, did you watch it because you were like, oh, I'm curious to see if this is good, or as homework for this show, or you had hopes for it?
Now, first, if you've ever listened to the show, you know I don't do thing one for this show.
I'm aware of that.
So the answer to that is no. The reason I watched it is because, to me, I thought it, I believe this is true, that the subject matter, it's possible to make an interesting show.
I see.
Because it's a situation we're all familiar with, and if you didn't do it like shitty cliche stand-up comedian talking about outsourcing, you could actually, there's a lot of unmined comedy potential there.
Okay.
And, beautifully, it remains unmined. One of the things that they have...
Well, they're mining it, they just haven't found anything
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the jokes was, one of the jokes that they did is the main guy goes to get lunch, and he's standing in front of a thing where they're just serving it buffet style, and he goes, oh, some of the green stuff, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Everybody knows what curry is. There's no one who doesn't know what curry is. And you know what? Most people fucking like curry. It's not some crazy flavor. It's not. And you know what it looked like was in there? Lamb or chicken.
Yeah.
That's not crazy.
It reminded me of that place we went to in Chicago, Meat No Meat.
Oh, man.
Remember that place?
Fucking good.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Because that was like what they had, the vegetarian curry.
I'm going to describe one of the things they had with the curry. And how do I describe this? Well, they're little, they're like a bunch of little pieces of food. I don't know what's the word. They're like white.
Rice?
Yeah, I don't know if you can relate to it. Fuck you. And that, to me, the thing is, that's worse than being racist. That's fucking be racist then, because it'd be better.
Yeah.
But be funny. And I wanted it to be funny. I really did.
Was it an artless attempt at mocking the American way of not caring about other cultures?
Yes.
There you go. You got your answer. Here's what disappointed me the most, honestly, and this was... And because I had no hopes for the show except for one thing, Diedrich Bader. I love Diedrich Bader. And I was like, well, if he's on the show, at least I think one thing will be funny. And he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He failed. Now, maybe it was his character or whatever. I'm not blaming it all on him. But even he was not funny as one of the other Americans working there. And then they bring in that Australian chick clearly going to be his white love interest. And
his whole purpose there is to be the other American. You just described every part of his character. He's the other American there. And fuck you.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, it was just a bad thing from beginning to end.
I'm glad I chose not to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll probably run it because it's not horrendously bad that they got to yank it right away.
No, that's the other thing.
And I'm sure it got decent numbers, seeing how it's on at 9:30.
I wish it was worse, because it might as well be. And it's just so boring.
No,
and
just
dull.
They'll show it until fall, and then they'll bring back Parks and Rec.
It reminds me of, like, when you first saw Suddenly Susan, and there were maybe one or two okay jokes, but you're like, this is just a boring, terrible show.
See, it reminds me of when I suddenly saw First Susan. I was surprised. I was really surprised by that. Okay, according to the Shit My Dog Takes Twitter page, there's one follower. That would be me, Paul Goebel. Shit My Dog Takes is following 35 people.
Or maybe I misread it then.
Yeah.
Why are you following people?
Because I'm hoping they'll be like, when somebody follows you, you go, oh, I'll follow them.
You kept sending it, and I was... Literally, I'm like, I might have to buy a new phone because I'm going to punch.
Because you know what
phone.
It was? Is I was retweeting Shit My Dog Takes.
Oh, sure you were.
That's what it was. Yeah, so you were seeing my tweets, my retweets.
Well, at first I saw the one, follow this guy, he's hilarious, or whatever. I'm like, oh, God, hang yourself. You think dog shit is funny, please.
That's great. I love how you didn't even fall for it.
No.
Like, I don't care what you're doing. No.
No, I don't I'm not a fecal guy, man. I don't think
it's
funny
either.
Or interesting. Or,
you understand I don't either, right?
Mm.
Right. The other show that I watched this week was...
Lone Star.
No
way, I guessed it. I'm not kidding you, I guessed.
Did anyone else watch it?
That was awesome.
No, I think you're a Lone Star.
I am a Lone Star. Now, Lone Star, much like...
Tommy!
was like Hawaii Five-0, was supposed to be one of the best shows of the season, according to Entertainment Weekly. And I really liked it. It was, you know, a very
dark
show.
Well, don't get used to it.
I know. It was amazing to me. I watched it with Brooke, and she's like, whoa, this show is really cool. And apparently this guy's the new George Clooney. Everyone's crazy about him. And I like John Voight's really good, and I love David Keith. Who doesn't love fucking David Keith, right?
Good fan.
Guy's amazing. And it's a great idea.
You know Keith David.
Yeah, we just watched him in that thing with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was good. But it was amazing. And then I find out it's the lowest-rated new show of the season. So bad that they were going to yank it.
They were going to cancel it immediately, and the producer sent out like a please help note to the people, you know, he thought could help be fans.
But it's weird because usually, because I was reading this article about it, and it was like naming other shows that got yanked right away, like Anchorwoman. And I'm like, well, Anchorwoman was this horseshit reality show that no one should have watched in the first place. Lone Star is a little different, and the point he was making is, if it does get canceled, it'll just be more reason for people not to make interesting shows with a big arc. You know, if you want to make a drama, you make a procedural where everything gets wrapped up in 46 minutes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
What was the old school show with Glenn Frey that got canceled immediately?
South of Sunset. Well, that never even aired. Didn't even air.
I thought it aired after the Super Bowl, and then it never aired again or something like that.
No,
isn't there some show like that?
There was Turn On, which aired on the East Coast and not on the West Coast.
Really?
That was so bad. But South of Sunset got advertised all week and then got yanked at the last minute.
Wow.
Give me a quick synopsis of what Lone Star is about.
All right, the premise is this guy, he's like in his 20s. He and his dad are con men and have been since he was a little kid. They're a father and son con team, and that's what they do.
Okay.
Now, he is running two big cons at this time. One is he's living in Midland, Texas with this girl in a house, and he's getting money from all his friends and family and everyone in the neighborhood to mine for gas, to mine these rocks for gas. And they're all giving him checks, and eventually he's going to cut and run. The other thing he's running is he's married to this woman whose father owns John Voight owns a huge oil company. And he's going to get in there, and then he gets offered a job, one of the big-time jobs. So he's in. So his dad's like, you did it. You're in. Cut and run on Midland and get over to Dallas. But then he, of course, his dad asks him, who are you in love with, your fake girlfriend or your fake wife? And he goes, both. And that's the conflict of the show. He actually cares about these women, cares about the people in his life, and he's trying to make it all work. So at the end of the show...
He's a huckster, to be sure, but he's trying to somehow do it right without doing
it right. And he even says to his dad, how about I do this job for real? Why don't I just take the job and do it and not con them? His dad's like, you don't know what you're doing. You're not an oil man. You're a con man. And
He's not even a con man.
Just a liar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a good-looking liar.
Here's my observation of why it may be failing, other than that I didn't watch it and... people follow my Rockstar tweets, and, you know, here's my observation.
They look every day to see what you're watching and go, really? Venture Brothers?
Not Lone Star. Yeah. So here's the deal, what I would suggest. Lone Star, right away for me, the title is a terrible title because it's a super, super, super generic title. I know I've heard things called Lone Star.
There's a great movie called Lone Star.
Yeah, I know. And
Bill Pullman's character in Spaceballs.
Songs and states. It is such a generic title.
Beer.
It doesn't tell me anything about the series other than locale.
A steakhouse.
Right? And I think that that's a problem sometimes. And to me, it doesn't grab me in any sense.
You're right.
So if I've taken the time to find out what the show is about, but clearly I didn't do that, but nobody does that really. Now, Americans, although we are notorious for our keen observation, sometimes Americans...
Look at Outsourced.
Yeah, sometimes Americans do... only take a cursory glance at something. And it's like that SNL sketch about Burn Notice. What is Burn Notice?
Right.
Well, the thing is, wonderful show from what I've heard, but the sketch was also making a valid point. I think it's just fucking poorly named.
That's yeah. What, there's a...
The two funny comments from Texas. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect name.
Done.
Yeah.
That's Burn Notice thing. It's like Steve Martin was on Jiminy Glick. I'm sure I've said this before because it's one of my favorite things. Jiminy Glick is like, you know, he a long ramp-up question. And he says, Catherine Bell of Jag says that a person who has a heart lives inside their heart and only peeks out occasionally to find love to fill their heart with. How does Steve Martin respond to that? And Steve Martin goes, what is Jag? completely invalidated the entire thing. Just the face. What is Jag?
That's
brilliant. God damn it.
Yeah, but the other side of that is the time when Steve Martin and Sarah Silverman were guests on the Martin Short talk show, and she was telling one of her jokes about how people say my boyfriend isn't masculine enough, but he just tells them to talk to the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they both went, haha, and Steve went, I don't know what that means.
No.
What does that mean, talk to the hand? And Martin Short goes, it means you're going to get punched. You know, you talk to the fist. And Steve goes, oh, okay. And Sarah just sat there. She just fucking sat there.
What's she going to do? Tell old man, you know, one what old man two is wrong about?
And that was the thing is, I thought, what would I do in that situation? I think I could do, if I had to do anything, it would be get up and leave. I mean, you either sit there quietly, or you just stand up and walk away.
But here's the thing, Steve Martin.
How do you mock them? Because that's the thing. Yeah, you're right in mocking them for that, but then they go, hello, three amigos.
You know what, though? She could have had, if she was, again, I don't, whatever, Sarah, but she could have had fun explaining it, and I think they all would have had fun together.
I don't know.
Well, it's a funny thing. Steve Martin is now and always will be hilarious. He's one of those guys who manages to still be funny. However, he's definitely an old man. I remember when he hosted the Oscars by himself a few years back, and he had a joke about Eminem. And the way he said, he set up the joke, and part of the setup was, rapper Eminem. And just the way he said rapper, as if you knew
almost that, like he didn't even know what a rapper was.
Yeah.
Let alone Eminem.
But yeah, just the way the words just didn't feel right in his mouth. And that's just kind of an old...
Now, what was your experience with him when he played banjo on your album?
Nothing but professional. Nothing but professional, man. But, Steve, I'll tell you, the thing about that is... Those sessions got so improvisational, if I may. I'm still a little high. we were there. We had booked the studio for 2 hours, and I shit you not, we were there for fucking 6 hours.
I'm sorry, 2 hours? What were you planning on getting done in 2 hours, recording your album?
Just his segment, because it was just...
Oh, he's got
a
small window.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
small window to get
Steve. We were there for fucking 6 hours, and I'm fucking just... hammering Red Bull and fucking Coke.
Well, you both got to be telling road stories at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, his book was all road stories, and then you've got you actually did the same tours. We're in Aspen. You started your first tour in Aspen. I remember that.
Right.
So you guys got a lot to talk about. And you dated Linda Ronstadt, too.
I did not enjoy it nearly as much as he did.
True. Well, you got her later in the game.
Yeah.
He got her early.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I dated her, a year ago?
Yeah. And so you actually have Steve Martin cock taste in your mouth from it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now, here's my question. I know why he had an arrow through his head, but why you?
Well, that was just an accident.
Holy fuck. The real answer. Oh, fuck.
It happened, if I may bring this back. It was a gardening accident in the garden Tom and I have. from an earlier part of my life we talked about.
Why you got arrows in the garden? That's not safe.
Where do you keep your arrows, Paul?
I'm a fucking rock star.
Oh, that's right.
That's what he wants. He's got arrows, a ham. He's got whatever the fuck he wants in his garden.
Oh, shit. That may
be... He's got an octopus's garden.
213 episodes. That may be the funniest thing ever said. Boy, if I ever wanted to quit, and believe me, I have, this is the fucking perfect time to do it. I'm going to take a poll right now, and it's the one I'm taking out of my ass. But I want you viewers or listeners... If you listen to the show, or if you sit in front of your computer and watch it,
watch
play,
the time go yeah, by.
Either you write me.
I'm telling you, those people have a fucking blast.
If
that
you
fucking countdown.
If you want that to be the, if you want this to be the very last show, I will fucking do it. I'll shut it down right now.
Or maybe
can,
we make
can we
it
vote now?
I know everybody's vote here. There's really no point in
we
taking
make it
a vote
the
here.
Last show, no matter what. But maybe we just keep pushing it. Keep renumbering it.
Just start over at number one.
No, 213 is all hell of them.
It's always 213. Yeah. Ah, I like that. All right. We got like 213, part A, part B. Okay, I got you. All right, well, let's move on. That's all the shows I watched. Any other shows that you guys watched that I didn't...
Yeah, I watched the premiere of fucking Venture Brothers, and it kicked your ass up and down this fucking podcast.
Okay.
And it was so good, and... a lot of action. We had the Monarch fucking doing his thing. We all know about the Monarch on the Venture Brothers. That was fucking great. We had a great fucking thing going on with Rusty, who didn't say a word in the thing but was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Tom, what was your favorite part of that episode?
I would say when they discovered what the blockage was.
Yeah. That was, oh fuck yes, that was brilliant.
There's always a good Venture Brothers episode, there's always a moment where I go, oh shit, and I just totally didn't see it coming.
Yeah, and that's a for real thing, actually the whole thing, where, but the great thing that they do, the things that they satirize of Johnny Quest style cartoons and those kind of adventures, they do a very specific reference, and then the funny twist on it is fucking brilliant.
That's great.
All right. Awesome.
So watch that show, idiots.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Will you be watching Eastbound and Down?
I certainly will. Right. That's one of my favorite shows.
Premier of House? You watch Premier of House?
I missed it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you see the chick's nipple?
No.
That's what I heard at the end, that when he's in bed with the girl, supposedly when she rolls over, you get a nipple shot of her.
Well, I got that on my TiVo. So.
Done. Frame by frame.
I'm going to watch it. I have to watch
Lisa
it.
Lisa Edelstein's nipple? That's
whoever he's in bed
about.
With. I don't watch House. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
but I
remember
her
name.
Story.
Suck it.
Oh, very, very good. Now you know three cast members of House.
Well, now, do you think when Fox shows it, because they're showing things a week later, do you think when they show it tomorrow night on the online that will be there, or will they?
I don't know. I saw it on someone froze frame it or whatever the fuck on the internet, and I couldn't really see it. It was shadowy.
Is it what you would call a nip slip?
Yes, because she's in bed with House doing that very natural move that most women do, hugging themselves and with no shirt on, as most women do.
Yeah.
And she rolled over to talk to House and kind of it was like she split the A gap, and you were like, oh look, nipple. And
I got you.
Yeah.
Right. She has a nice set. Lisa Edelstein. She's got a pretty...
But the thing is, I'm sure you could go to Celebrity Movie Archive and she's naked somewhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, for sure.
Whenever I see anything, I watched an old Outer Limits and a chick stood up like with a gun and I'm like, wow, she's kind of cute in that dress. I wonder if she's been naked ever. Bum, bum, bum. Yes.
100
found
times.
Her. She was in the Outer Limits from 1963 and I found her in some naked picture.
Speaking of that, the chick from Eastbound and Down,
oh,
there's a scene in the first season of Eastbound and Down where she takes off her shirt.
Not her.
So clearly not her.
Yes.
It's like she takes off her shirt and then close up on this pair of giant breasts.
Which are fantastic.
Which are great, sure, but they're so clearly not hers. I was disappointed by that.
I saw Machete and, Lindsay Lohan, they made a big deal about her being nude in it.
Yeah.
And her hair was strategically over her nipples, and it's like, you never saw anything on Lindsay Lohan.
But see, she posed nude in Glamour or Esquire.
I've seen her, that's what I'm saying. I've seen, and I saw on her fucking hatchet wound when she climbed out of a canoe 5 years ago.
Okay, let's move on to Joaquin Phoenix. He was on Letterman, and we all watched that.
He was brilliant on Letterman. And the funny thing was, is I gained so much respect for what they were trying to do when they explained it that I thought, well, maybe you succeeded because it was interesting. I found the whole thing.
Here's my question, and I haven't seen the movie. I'm assuming nobody here saw it. But here's my question. Is it a documentary or is it a mockumentary? Is it a mockumentary like Borat, where he doesn't ever let up? Or is it a documentary where after he does the shit he's doing and gets in his fake fights, they show him winking backstage going, oh, that was awesome. Did you guys see
well,
that?
Well, here's the thing. Having not seen the movie and only seeing clips, I do really want to see the movie. It is definitely a documentary of something. And what I do think it's a documentary of is the thing that he was talking about, which is it's just a documentary of the media's and culture as a whole preparedness to fucking consume people.
Well, then do you think...
That's fascinating, and I think they pulled it off.
Do you say Borat is a documentary about Americans' views towards foreigners?
Well...
And Bruno a documentary about Americans' views towards homosexuals?
You could say that. I would just
do you,
say...
Are you saying it?
No, I'm not saying it about those two movies, because I'm drawing a distinction, and whether... And you'll have to decide if the distinction is fair, but like with Bruno and with Borat, his character that he's doing is pretty damned over the top in both cases.
Yeah.
Joaquin's character is not over the top. Joaquin's character is completely believable. I've seen fucking celebrities do that. And it's fascinating to me. He talked a little bit about how he thought it was amazing. He was very polite about it, but he did talk about Dr. Drew Pinsky diagnosing him having based on Letterman and how he thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
He says he made a diagnosis based on my appearance on Letterman. And, of course, now that we know the whole thing is a hoax, that really shines a light on how absurd that is.
You're absolutely right. But I'm in the larger picture and to a larger question, and I don't mean this in the mean way it's going to sound, who cares? I understand he was able to shine a light on what he feels is the destruction of celebrity and using it for their own ends, and people perpetuating their own celebrity off of the ludicrousness of other celebrity. And, you know, Dr. Drew essentially is a vampire who survives on celebrity, because that's the only, they go running to him. He's only famous because he tells them what to think about famous people.
Mm-hmm.
But now the movie's done and it's out, and Dr. Drew's still famous. Mm-hmm. People still go to him for diagnoses.
Well,
no one cares,
you know what?
But he's a phony.
I think that Joaquin probably agrees with you, because you should ask. But he was in some interview, and it may have actually been, maybe it was Joaquin or maybe it was Affleck. Casey Affleck was the director, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was Casey Affleck who said this. He said, "What was your point?" He goes, "Well, I don't know if we had a point," which is a funny thing to say, but he said, "I don't know if we had a point, we just thought it was interesting," and I agree. Your question, who gives a shit? Well, me and not very many other people.
And I don't mean it, I certainly don't mean it in a harsh
way.
I mean, like, I understand what they were trying to do, but maybe it was just a commentary rather than trying to achieve something, and that's maybe where I'm wrong, because I'm thinking everything has to be a means to an end, and they wanted to change
things. I don't think they did want
to
change.
They just wanted to shine a light on it.
I think they were curious about it. Yeah.
Well, then good for them. That makes sense.
This to me seems like the result of a late night dinner where you sat around talking about society as a whole, and because you're both famous and have access to money, you said, "Well, fucking, let's do this." And because it's Joaquin Phoenix, who, yeah, he's very successful, but he don't care. He's not, he's clearly not, like, in love with the celebrity part. He likes performing.
Yeah, and he said, "Oh, this is going to hurt my image. This is going to hurt what I am."
Yeah,
he doesn't give a shit.
I respect the hell out of that.
I'm with you.
If he torpedoes the fuck out of his career, well, he'll rebuild it by being a talented actor.
Right. Yeah, okay.
That is all
I'm it's my fault for presuming that they hoped to achieve something rather than just make something.
Because your reaction is a valid reaction to what they were trying to do, so all reactions are valid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a social experiment.
Welcome to Confucius's show with Paul Goebel.
Well, that was something Jim learned with his time with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. When you brought him along on tour with you, right?
I did for a little while. Eastern stuff. We all did that.
Now here, how about the fact that Casey Affleck? Go ahead, Mike.
Did the yogi eat a lot of green stuff when you guys were on the road?
How about the fact that Casey Affleck says he went broke making this movie?
Yeah,
that is interesting to me.
That is interesting.
Because he made, you know, what is it, Gone Baby Gone?
Well,
a great movie. I loved it. And he's done other stuff, and I think he's a very talented kid. But he decided, I'm going to make this a documentary, and then he gets all done and went, oh, jeez, I'm fucking broke now. I got to go make a bunch of movies and make some money.
Good for him, though, because, well, I don't know if he thinks it's okay, but he's of an age and in a family where, does he really go broke? No, he didn't go broke.
And that's a very different version of check to check when you're like... hey, I better go make a movie and get some money. I mean, that's a lot different than Jesus Christ. True. I hope I can get a job.
Well, yeah, right. Because in between the time he said that and now, he got some royalties.
Yeah, he's back.
He's okay.
He's fine.
Because somebody rented...
Yeah, the mail came from the time you saw that interview.
Somebody rented Goodwill Hunting, and he was okay. All right, well, here's the trivia question. 2 weeks ago, the trivia question was about SCTV. I asked what was the dude's name. You might know this. What was the dude's name on SCTV who played the costume director for SCTV? And he also was the real costume designer for SCTV. And he also was the head of, he had his own dance team that was on all the specials on SCTV.
Right. Sadly, I don't remember. I read Dave Thomas's book. I love SCTV, but...
I can picture the dance team.
Yeah, because all the Heatherton would have a special, and they would always be on the Sons and Something Dancers.
Exactly. His name was Jewel Hallmeyer, and that was his real name, Jewel
Hallmeyer Dancers.
Exactly. It's funny, because a lot of people answered it, and they all said that they learned that from watching DVDs and listening to the commentary.
Which
I found interesting, because I knew it just
Did you read Dave Thomas's book?
Mm-hmm, I own it.
The greatest.
It's out there.
Oh, my God, what a great book.
That's a good
book. It's a good book. I love it. I signed it.
Do you have the SCTV box sets?
Brooke does.
Okay. Is it everything?
I think so.
Or are they edited? Because I worship the show. And they actually started running it when...
Well, you borrowed one. Are there things missing that you noticed?
Well, from the DVD?
Yeah.
It's fairly complete, but I don't... My memory.
But there was nothing on it that you went, oh, that was different music, or that was a different thing.
But they don't have, like, the opening, the Harold Ramis as Mo Green, Dialing for Dollar.
Those early ones, no.
Those I love. Oh, my God, I love those.
It's all starting when they were on NBC.
The SCTV Network, the 90-minute show.
Yeah, not the CBC stuff.
God, the CBC stuff. That stuff was fantastic.
But they have the Battle of the Networks. They do that episode.
So great.
Godfather one. All right, yeah. So Tim Anderson got that right.
Tim
A. A listener who's gotten many things right. So many that he went, I don't need a prize.
What?
He's gotten every prize there is to get. He was like, if you guys ever make stickers, though, I'll take one.
No,
I went, all right.
Well, you don't invent prizes.
Yeah, exactly. So trivia question this week is about walking things. Oh, and I also realized I never answered the question about who broke my phone. The answer was Zap Brannigan. The Zap Brannigan figure fell down and broke my phone and his head popped off. So, sorry to all those of you who have been waiting for me to give that answer.
Before you do your trivia question, can I go ahead and do my trivia question?
Is it about Stephen Hawking?
No. This is in... Okay.
Is it about your third album?
Yes. So, third album. Who plays bass on Horses Without Wheels? That's the question.
Oh.
So you write to me, and I will send you autographed underwear.
Stickers. He actually has stickers. Jim has stickers.
Yeah, from when he was on tour. Sure. Well, yeah, his street team made him up.
He has some tattoos. Don't lick them.
All right, so here's a trivia. It's about Joaquin Phoenix. We all know
about him.
Oh, yeah.
Joaquin, back when he was called Leaf, he played Gary in Parenthood when he was a young man, when he was Leaf Phoenix. Who played that part on the first version of Parenthood on TV? That's the question. Because now there's another version of Parenthood that's only loosely based on the movie. But all the characters from the movie, when it was on the Ed Begley version, when they were on, all those characters were on the show. Who played Joaquin Phoenix's character, Gary, on the TV show?
Anyone Peter know? Berg.
Peter Hold Berg, on. That's a decent guess, I guess. But it's wrong.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's correct! That's absolutely correct!
Wow!
I was going to give a hint and say he's a very popular actor, but I didn't want you guys to guess. But you knew it and needed a minute to think of it, huh?
Yeah.
Well done. That's two in a row for you.
No, I don't know.
I thought we weren't supposed to really give the answer on these.
Well,
don't want to play?
The conceit is, if you guys actually know the answer, why shouldn't you be able
the
to guess?
Chances of me ever knowing anything.
Yeah, that's the thing is, only, I mean, sometimes...
I don't remember that happening before.
Jim ever actually getting it right?
I don't remember that. Yeah, I did.
Well, he did it last week when I asked about the succubus, but he reasoned that one out.
Oh, well. Yeah.
This was him actually knowing it and remembering it from his memory.
Yeah.
Sometimes Tom will know an answer,
I'm probably
and I
thinking
know he knows
someone
it,
else.
So I'll tell him not to answer.
I'm probably thinking of someone else.
Yeah. It was a young Leonardo DiCaprio, obviously, even before he was on Growing Pains. It was his first TV gig.
Huh.
It was a non-part. But there you go, Jim. Congratulations. What do you want?
I'll take a Magnum.
All right. Well, here's the last thing I want to talk about. I'm sure you guys don't watch the show, but it's called The Big C on Showtime with Laura Linney.
That's actually about Shit My Dad Says. You kept putting that off. Going, oh. I'll get to that later.
All right, let's talk about Shit My Dad Says. Who watched it?
No, none of us.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah. What an
idiot. Well, here's the thing I'll say. The show is bullshit.
A little bit of it.
But here's the problem with the show. Shatner is great on the show.
Come on.
He plays the role the way it should be played.
That guy's a mess.
And that's the point. He's like this old fucked up man who doesn't care about anybody or anything around him.
So he plays William Shatner.
Right, exactly. The problem is, everybody on the show tries to relate to him as something he's not. Like on Boston Legal. He was great on Boston Legal because he was this crazy old man, and they related to him like he was a crazy old man, spoke to him like he was a crazy old man with a lot of power. On Shit My Dad Says, they're talking to him like, you're my dad, I love you, and it fucking falls so flat.
Really?
And he's clearly been that way his whole life. So why are you...
Yeah, why now do you care?
Because then there's something wrong with you.
Look, I know you don't care, but you're my dad, and I love you, and I'm moving in to take care of you. And then he goes, yeah, but you're gay. And you go, ha ha. And you accept him for who he is. That's the problem with the show. And it makes me upset because Will Sasso is on it, and I think he's hilarious, and he's no good. Nicole Sullivan, who is, for some reason, wearing the most ludicrous push-up bra in the world on this fucking show. I mean, when you think of Nicole Sullivan, you don't think of her giant jugs. But for some reason on this episode, they're fucking huge.
Awesome.
And they're on board. And I was like, yeah, what is up with that? I mean,
my cock.
The time for her to wear that fucking bra was back on Mad TV, not 30 years later when she's trying to get a fucking gig. But it's bad, and it won't last. It's too bad that they put so much time in. And the thing is, I turned to Brooke and I said, "Well, what do you think?" She goes, "I think it's a show based on a fucking Twitter feed." Yeah. And I said, "Yeah, that's the review I think that everybody should put."
Yeah,
I sent out a tweet that said, "Shit, my dad says." Thank God I'm dead, so I don't have to watch Shit My Dad Says.
Oh, that's fun.
Nice. Wow, I bet your follower loves that.
I'll ask you a question I asked another comedian.
I put out a tweet with a picture of dog shit. Did you see it?
I saw several. And I saw your trumped up announcement about it.
Do you ever take something funny you said in a tweet and then decide you're going to try it on stage? I'm just curious.
You know what? Stuff will come in the podcast that I'll eventually go, I got to try on stage. No, you know what? I don't tweet enough to bring it to stage.
Mike usually tweets real things, like, here's a picture of my lunch, or I'm talking to my buddy, or whatever.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
You do that?
Your tweets are, I went to Five Guys for lunch. Here's
yeah, but
burgers.
All that was funny. Come on. I mean,
they're not jokes.
Yeah. No, I don't write don't like one jokes. Liners. I do like when I saw like beer with Clamato in it. I like did a thing. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
I'm not good at Twitter because I spend most of my time answering people because I'll write a Twitter and then I'll get 40 people to write me and then I. My OCD makes me write everybody back and answer them.
I had to quit my fucking Twitter account.
Really?
Too many people.
Yeah?
Too many people. It's fucking ridiculous. It's just... Some of these girls are fucking 16. I can't get in trouble again.
No, dude, sure.
Again.
All right, so here's the deal on The Big C. It's on Showtime after Weeds, and the premise is...
Forever.
You should.
Why not? You're welcome. The premise is Laura Linney has cancer. But she's not, right? But she's not telling anyone. And here's the problem is, you know, yes.
It was a different C word. I was really looking
at it. Well, they originally called the show the C word, but because they have the L word and the real L word, they changed it to
I saw the real L world in passing, flipping channels,
bullshit,
and I was like, you got to be joking.
That show is such horseshit. It's the biggest insult ever. And it makes me upset because Stamey Kara Kasatis, or whatever her last name is on it. And she's, you know, a comedian who I know and I like, and I've done her show. She does that Roxbury show.
Okay.
One of the best shows in town as far as those.
And I watch it and go,
it really is.
Do you not watch your show? Do you not watch how bad this show is?
And she goes, look, my name is Stamey.
And I go, okay, never mind.
I don't know her. I want to work Roxbury today.
She's Greek.
I'm joking. I figured as much.
Yeah. So here's the deal. She has the premise of the show.
It's funny. I watched Outsourced,
cancer.
And the guy ate the Stamey kind of scurrilous.
It was great. And she's not telling anyone. She has a husband, she has a son, and she has a brother. She hasn't told any of them that she has cancer because she's dying. She's been given a death.
Oh, it's over. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
She had a big thing on her back, and then they show the X-ray, and it has turned into this giant thing in her lungs. So the doctor says, "Yeah, you got 6 months to a year." So a lot of people who know are the doctor who's...
You know who's very upset about that diagnosis?
Who?
The showrunner. He's like, how do we get year two out of this chick?
Yeah. But they all, she also told her crabby neighbor across the street, who's now her best friend, of
Mrs.
course.
Crabby.
They drink together, yeah. So...
what if it was?
The problem is,
back.
I like everybody else on the show. Oliver Platt plays her husband, and they're separated. And he's like, why are you always
Anna!
Such a...
She's wearing a wig!
That's not a wig, Gladys. Calm down. Why, you just get away from that window. You're driving me crazy.
Wearing a wig!
What do you care if she's wearing a wig? Sit down and get my pork chops.
So you're okay with that kind of a witch?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Anyways... She is not telling anybody, and so she comes off as kind of a cunt on the show. And
hence the title.
Maybe that's the point, but like my feeling is, yes, if you have cancer and you're dying, well, all bets are off. Go ahead, do whatever you want.
Sure.
I don't give a fuck. But if you don't tell everyone you're dying, they're going to think you're a fucking asshole. All you have to do is go, oh, by the way, I have cancer and I'm dying. That's why I'm such a shitbird. And everyone goes, oh, okay. Continue shitting on the floor. That's fine.
No. I disagree. If you tell people I have cancer and dying, they immediately mobilize into the what can we do to help brigade.
Well, she went to a... There's one episode where she went to a meeting, a support group, and was over it. Because they were all like, we're going to help you, and we're going to teach you to accept cancer. And she went, get the fuck out of my life.
Right.
And I was fine. But the problem is, I like everyone else on the show. Mm-hmm. Her brother's this interesting character. Her son is interesting because he's a douche. She's horrible, though. And the worst part is, in this last episode, I stopped watching halfway through. I was so upset. In this last episode, Idris Elba, she's a teacher, and Idris Elba is painting a mural outside her classroom. We all know Idris Elba is Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Yes.
He's painting a mural on in the hallway outside her classroom. So he's black, he's great looking, he's a painter. Oh, and he's not using an accent, so he's English. Because
okay.
He's really English.
Right.
Himself is really English. So he's very interesting.
He's very Basquiat.
Oh, the other thing is, Gabby Sidibe is on the show. She's great, because she's a sassy, funny black chick.
Oh.
She's not precious.
You don't see a lot of those.
Based on the movie Push by Sapphire. So she's great on the show. So anyways, he's painting this thing, and she decides, Laura Linney decides, I think I'm going to go get waxed. Because her brother explains to her that the reason she never got waxed is because blah, blah, blah. So she's like, okay, I'll see what the big deal is.
Wait a minute. Her brother explains to her the reason she never got waxed. Why does he know the reason she never got waxed?
Because he's a crazy, freaky freegan. Like, he squats in houses and eats out of dumpsters.
Okay.
And she's an uptight suburban woman. He's constantly...
Oh, so he was like, oh, you've never been waxed because of that. I don't know what that means.
Because you're uptight and you think it's not a good thing to do, and you think only spoiled women who...
How did her brother
whatever.
Even know that she was waxed?
Because he's her brother.
Yeah.
He knows everything about her. They have a very tight relationship.
They have VJ
maybe
talk?
Maybe it was her husband. Maybe it was Oliver Platt who said that.
Okay.
Regardless, she takes that as a cue to go get her junk waxed.
Sure.
So she goes in and she's like, oh, I get it now. I understand. It's about, you know, feeling good about yourself, and it's like a little secret you have that nobody knows and whatever. And she's walking around with it and she tells her brother, yeah, I got waxed. She's like, I kind of want to show it off. So, of course, she's in her classroom teaching her students while Idris Elba's outside her door painting. What does she do? She drops her fucking panties and fucking flashes her beaver at him. And that, I'm not...
Do we see it?
No, of course not. And I'm not too down with that because I used to be a teacher, and whenever there's any kind of sexual bullshit on these teacher shows, it rings so false that I hate it because all it would take is for... one person, one kid, one staff member, somebody to go, whoa, that's inappropriate, and she's in jail. Not just fired,
what,
in jail.
What is she teaching? What grade?
It's high school.
And she, so that everybody saw her pull her pants
No, off? Nobody did, apparently. She's teaching summer school, so the class is smaller.
And she turned, but she, you say she dropped
She's behind
out.
Her desk. She's behind
oh,
her desk.
Oh, I see.
She's wearing a skirt.
And she pulls up.
She drops her panties, you know, very surreptitiously, and then swings over. And
yeah.
Flashes her beaver, almost like an accident. Like, he didn't go, nice, and start jerking off.
Yeah.
He, like, saw it by accident and dropped his brush and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's all bullshit. But here's the part that made me the maddest. After school, she's in her classroom admiring the corner of the classroom that he fixed and repainted. He comes up behind her, puts his hands on her shoulder. She turns around, and they start fucking right there on the desk. Now, A... that doesn't happen, and it certainly doesn't happen in a classroom where a teacher wants to keep her job. And B, I am offended that it had to be the big, burly, black guy that she had to have sex with to show that she's taking control of her life. It's so fucking racist that a white woman has to have sex with a big, dangerous, English black guy to show that she's now free of her suburban horseshit. And to make matters worse, Gabby Sidibe is jogging, because she's a big fat girl, she's jogging in the park, and Laura Linney's son happens across her, and Gabby Sidibe goes, "Quit looking at my titties bouncing up and down." And he's like, "Huh, what? I know you ain't seen titties as fine as this," and I'm not exaggerating, by the way. I am fucking quoting her lines from the show. Mm. And the two black people on the show are the ones talking about titties and pussies and fucking, and it fucking made me turn off the show right then and there.
Now
I know you guys haven't seen the show,
yeah,
but based on what I told you,
right,
what
but,
are your
but
opinions?
Here's my, well, okay, we, if you're offended, that's fine, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they're showing is they're showing that she is going to go a complete 180 from what her life was before. I don't think it's a commentary on whether it's good or bad, or he's black and it's dangerous and all those types of things. I think she's acting out, and she's going to do whatever the fuck she wants, because she knows she's dead in 6 months, so maybe I'll fuck the janitor, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that.
Well, and I will say this. There's a very good chance that her character is motivated by at least subconscious or somewhat subversive racist reasons, but those are real things.
But I think conscious effort on the writers and the producers to make it a black guy to show just how dangerous it is.
I don't think
is
it's
racist.
I think it's not dangerous. I think it's just how
it's
different
exotic.
And exotic.
That's
because,
racist.
I disagree.
But here's the thing.
If you're white, why is sex with a black person exotic? I mean, I agree with Mike. If you're going to pay for sex, you order off the menu. I mean, I could not agree with that more. You know, if you're going to get a hooker.
Paul, I'm going to answer your question though. The reason it's exotic is because it is racist. You're right that it is racist, but it's no wait. Let me finish the thought.
I hear you. It's a funny idea to me.
But it is a racist quality of the society we live in. It's not like the writers are imagining a cultural scenario. We're becoming more and more. We're getting better. We are getting better. But the like. Oh my God! What would it be like to be with a black guy? I mean, hey,
that's pervasive.
Been there, done that. You don't have to tell me. But normal people, you, a regular person, they don't have that experience. And it seems any other race, it's like, is it racist for some dudes to have an absolute Asian fetish? People I know, yes. That doesn't mean that they're being cruel or mean. It means that they're liking this thing for whatever reason. But we're driven by some ugly desires. So it doesn't. I'm not saying they handled it correctly on the show. I didn't see it. Maybe the show handled it really shitty. However, the idea that some white women would go, "Oh, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and doing something I've always wanted," that'd be a black guy. That's not.
I don't think it's wrong.
This show's
demographic, it sounds to me, is like 40 to 50 year old women. And
we're done after we.
In this country.
Well, we're almost done. You go ahead and take your call.
Okay.
In this country, I think that in certain areas, that taboo thing completely exists.
Yeah.
And it's not racist, it's just there.
It reminds me of on ER when Eric LaSalle was dating that British chick, you know,
okay.
That character.
Alex. Or
Alex
whatever.
Kingston.
Yeah.
And he said to the writers, "This storyline doesn't work for me." And they asked him why, and he said, "Because it is a myth, and it's racist, that in order for a black man to be successful in America, he has to date a white woman, and I don't want to perpetuate that myth." And so the shitty ER writers then had her marry fucking the nerd from Revenge of the Nerds.
Because
everybody on that show has to be fucking in some way.
Everybody on every show has to be fucking.
They don't have to be.
No, but
they weren't on St. Elsewhere. Everybody wasn't fucking on St. Elsewhere, and that was a hospital show.
That's 30 years ago.
So?
What I'm saying is now, every show, the dynamic of shows, it's like, if they're not fucking, they're going to be fucked eventually.
I'll say this, the shitty ones, on all the shitty ones.
I'm going with all the shows.
Nope.
I mean, every show that I see.
Undercovers.
Yeah?
Oh, wait.
Interesting.
That's the premise. That's the premise, never mind. Detroit 187, nobody was fucking on that show.
Not yet.
Yeah.
In fact, the guy who was having a kid got shot in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I like that.
By his kid?
Spoiler, by the way. By his kid.
Oh,
his
man.
Kid came out with a gun, shot him.
You mean to say, you gotta have that
they were like, "How'd this kid pass security?" Well, I mean, you guys are right, but I think in real life, that's perfectly fine.
Yes.
I don't want to see it on a fucking TV show.
Well, but that's valid because...
I see it in real life too much. I see it in my own real life I pay for sex.
There's a question.
No!
What the?
I think there's a difference between the character being racist and the show being racist, and it's not clear to me. I have to see it to
I agree, and I'm not saying the character's racist.
I don't think it's racist at all.
No, but I'm saying maybe the character is. Maybe the character could be driven by a racially charged desire that... The show isn't saying, hey, this is a good thing. They're just saying, hey, this is a thing that exists.
It's just a thing.
Maybe that particular character's thing has always been to bang a black guy, and you're extrapolating on society.
Well, then maybe they set that up in the first 3 or 4 episodes and goes and show, okay. Well,
they're too busy setting up the tumor in her lungs.
Moving on, why is it Gabby Sidibe has to go, titties, 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 look at my titties. Hey, white boy, grab my titties. That's fucking horseshit.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
that
you're on board.
That seems like possibly, yeah, and that's probably carelessness and lazy writing. That's probably what that is.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Or racism, because I haven't seen it. But
well, that's also like when you were out with Joni Mitchell and you guys did you were filming your own version. When We Are the World came out for Africa, you guys did your own special version, and she actually sang Titties, 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 Please
Yeah,
Grab My Titties.
Yeah, that did not. We did not make much money.
Well, Joni Mitchell, well, you wouldn't see that coming out of her, and it was your idea to have her go against type, which is great.
Here's the thing. Sheryl Crow, I'm on board her singing that.
Oh,
Joni
sure.
Mitchell, not, no. I don't want
to
hear about
and
Joni Mitchell.
To tie it all up, Sheryl Crow, cancer.
Yeah, but not the titty kind.
And not banging
a
black guy.
I saw a fucking bumper sticker today that said, you know, save the tatas. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Breast cancer bumper sticker. And I thought I'm going to make one that says, never mind the tatas, save the bollocks.
Oh.
What do you think?
In the font?
Yeah, I do it just like the album cover.
I like it.
You think enough people would get that?
No, well, they'd get it. They wouldn't buy it or pay for it in any way.
I give it out to people to save ball cancer.
I like it.
I hate that. I'm like, yeah.
Save ball cancer?
Yeah, save ball cancer. They're trying to eradicate ball cancer in America.
Oh.
I want to save it.
The world's a better place with the threat of ball cancer looming.
Speaking of that, November's coming up, and we're going to be asked
that it is.
To participate in Movember once again. I think it was a success last year, but if you guys want us to do it and want to be on our Paul Goebel Show Movember team, send me an email, let me know, and I'll get it going again. All right, I don't have any more topics. Does anybody else have any?
No, I think we covered stuff.
Yeah? Mike, you want to tell a 30-minute IKEA story before we go?
Again?
All right, Jim, do the mashup, and let's get the F out of here. Mike's favorite part.
It is.
That was when you showed up at the old house. You went, oh, no, they're going to do the mashup without me.
Dude, I thought, because you were going to do the smash-em-up, and then when you took your phone call just now, I'm like, he's got to go, because I got here late, folks. And I'm like, he can't go without doing the mashup.
That would be the ultimate punishment for you,
though.
I
would hate it. I deserve
it.
I
deserve it.
I came a half hour late, and so for that, I get no mash-em-up. Damn it.
That'd be great. All right. Hit it, Jim.
Clearly, I had too much coffee. I'll be in the bathroom. If Bernice calls, I'll be in the bathroom. If she doesn't call, I'm still in the bathroom.
Oh, apparently, Fish has to go to the bathroom. But you know what, Levitt? We all have to go to the bathroom, don't we? Don't we? Everybody poops. Everybody poops. Everybody in the precinct poops. Who poops?
Yeah, we all poop.
Everybody poops. Everybody poops. Oh, look, it's the gay guy. Oh, it's so great to be here. Oh, but you know what? It doesn't matter that you're the gay guy who always comes to the precinct, because I love you. You love guys. We love.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Well, I like
we
it.
We got it.
It's like you were like, I don't think they understand. I better do the
no,
I love you
it.
Song.
No, I just think it's a pretty good mashup.
All right, Mike, as the guest.
Oh, I like it because it's not, it's a clean mashup because
yes.
It's a mashup in content, but not really in name, although it is really in name.
Yeah.
Barney Miller.
Is that what you were going for?
And Friends.
I screwed it up.
No,
Barney Miller and Friends. Nice. I was going to say Barney Miller the dinosaur. But yeah, Barney Miller.
I thought it was just clean Barney Miller, like his Barney, and then I
wanted to see. I was hoping that you would go on and Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato would get a call and go out and investigate it.
Now, when you said the gay guy was there, was that Ron Glass?
No, it was Marty.
Marty would
always come in.
Talk about cliches, because it was cool on the show. It was progressive at the time, and now it would be the gay equivalent of a minstrel show. You watch it, and he's such a cliche.
And yet, although it was perfect for the time, because at that time, when people were... At that time in America, when homosexuals were coming out and, you know, and telling everyone we're here, we're queer, whatever, that's how fucking big they were. That's how queer they were.
Sure, you're right, because they
were... And especially in New York. In New York and San Francisco, they were like, check us out. Yeah. That guy was great.
Watch, by the way, Tom and I, off and on, will have conversations about shows that are dated and whatever, and I know we've talked about it on the show, but I'll say it once again. Watch Barney Miller in rerun and be amazed at how well that show stands up.
Yeah.
What about...
Still funny, still great.
Yeah, it's not dated. What about The Dating Game? Is that dated?
Yeah, it's dated.
Yeah?
Remember my episode?
Yes. That when you fucked all those people.
Yeah.
Now, you touched on this briefly, but do you want to talk about the time you had sex with Clarence Clemons? All right.
Well,
anything?
He's a friend of mine.
Anything else?
Oh, nicely done. That's deep.
That's for Mike only. Only Mike enjoyed that, so it's good that you did it this week. Anything else? This show is almost 2 hours. Anything else we want to talk about? Oh, it's appropriate with you being on it.
And being late.
Being late. Anything else?
Well, I'll just say this for you listeners on the for real. Think good thoughts for my wife. So thank you, everybody who listens to the show.
Yeah, and follow her on Twitter. Mike, anything new going on with you showing up in places and doing comedy jokes?
No. If you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/the40-year-old boy, there are pages sprouting up to bring me to certain cities. There's bring Mike Schmidt to Austin, Texas. Bring Mike Schmidt to Phoenix. Bring Mike Schmidt to Portland. And other cities have contacted me, and I'm waiting, and they may be putting pages up. But
so if you're in any of those cities?
Yeah, because I just did the one-man show in San Francisco, and it went well. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/the40-year-old boy. You can go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com and look for merchandise on the Joe Business page. All that neat stuff, so that's great.
All right. Jim, get in. I'm going to take a picture of everybody.
Oh, okay. We're taking photos now?
Tom. I don't often do this, but this is a good one. You're right.
I know.
Idiot.
That's my thing now.
That's your thing, to go right behind the microphone?
I like to hide behind things.
All right, we'll tweet this, but on my account, not shit my dog takes.
please, keep that alive, because it is a fantastic idea.
Hey, I got one follower. All right, so that's the show. Tom, you want to tell anybody what you're doing now?
Nope.
You're working on? Okay.
Uh-uh.
All right, not that you're not working on things.
I'm working on so many things.
You just don't want to tell anybody.
I will never share with the world.
All right.
I'm selfish that way.
Well, that is the rest of the show. Thanks for listening. Go fuck yourself.
All right.